All right, God is good. I heard the Lord. It's good always to hear God. Here's what I heard for today, not for the coming year. I heard for the coming year. But here's what I heard for today is preach, deliver, declare, Isaiah 54. This is not the word for the year. This is the word for last year. And I just want to go over it, what Luce shared that last week when I shared how I missed the Lord a little bit. She said, no, you know, you didn't. So I've been meditating on that. I knew it was the Lord when she said it. That's good. So let's look at Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren. So if you're not barren, you can't sing. This is the song of the barren woman. This is the barren woman's song. You have to be barren. Sing, O barren. So you have to know, what is barren? Well, that means you didn't have a baby. That means you didn't bring forth anything. That means you sowed and you didn't reap. That means you sowed good things and reaped junky things. Has anybody ever done that where you gave something good to the marriage and the other person didn't receive the good and they gave you back bad? Stuff like that. So, sing, O barren. You've borne the heat of the day and then you didn't bring forth. The thing was aborted or never came, or it just was some air. It's like, oh my gosh, what was all that effort for? Sing, O barren. Shout aloud. I mean, make a loud cry. Sing. It's great. If you have not experienced the fullness and the glory and the blessing and the goodness of God, sing. Why? Because it was God's will. That was actually God's will. He was testing you. And to the extent that you believed that God was good, to that extent you had to be tested. Now, if you didn't believe he was good, he wouldn't even test you. It's no point. You didn't even believe he was good. But if you actually believed he was good, then when bad things do happen and do happen and do happen and do happen, that's because you believed. It's just testing your faith to make it more precious than gold. Now, so those bad things happen because you believed. Those awful things happened and you were barren. In other words, you sowed and then reaped nothing. I thought God told me to sow. He did. Well, I did. Well, what happened? I got nothing. I just barely survived. I got my seed back. That's about it. Well, I didn't get any crop. I didn't make any profit. And I was shamed because I even told everybody, the Lord told me to sow. And I witnessed to my relatives and they hated me. They didn't want me to even come anymore to Thanksgiving, Christmas. I mean, the more you share with your family, the more disgusted they are with you. But you keep quiet. Always harping on Jesus. Are you a freak? You know, what's wrong with you? Don't you understand we don't like that? We like to have a little Jesus, not a lot. We don't want to have too much. Amen? I mean, isn't that true? Your relatives get sick of you. You're going to pray again. You're going to pray again. You know, all right, put your trainee down. You know, so you just can't, you can't swear, tell a bad joke, drink martinis. You can't do anything around Christians because they're so holy, 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 holy. Always want to talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They want to watch even football. Watch Jesus. But you know what? You know what? It's good to be hated. It's good. Say it. I don't mind being hated. Say it. Nah, you will be. You are. But not by God. But by people who are jealous. They're jealous of your joy. They're jealous of your faith. It's like, you can't know that. You can't be that confident in this world. You're stupid. And you know, the world really doesn't respect you. And so then it's like, God, well, you know, I'm being a little bit dishonored here, a little bit shamed. Could you fix that? And then he'll say, yes. But he didn't say, yes, I'll do it right now. I got it so funny. But he did say yes. And then, you know, a few weeks later, when it's still not working. When? Oh, soon. But he doesn't explain the word soon. And you see, for God, that could be a day as 1,000 years. It could be 1,000 years. Oh, yeah, that was just, you know, yesterday that I said it. That was 1,000 years ago. So God is silly. Is God not silly? No, he actually knows how to work with flesh people. So when he gives you a word and you believe it, the next thing that happens is all hell breaks loose. I mean, every time. It's kind of like you go like this. I'm not even going to believe in God anymore. Because look what he's done. Nothing. I mean, I read my Bible. I fasted 7 days. And all I got is hungry. You know, he never did speak to me. I said, God, I'm going to be real serious now. I'm getting up early, and I'm going to fast for 7 days. In fact, I'll fast until I hear from you. And then after 7 days, you go, that's enough. And so all that happens whenever you serve God, you think you're sincere, and you actually are believing him, is he does not come through. Sing, O barren! When you're barren, when you've sown, but you... Nothing. Now, why is someone barren? Well, there's two reasons. One, you're married and you just can't have a baby. And the other is you don't get married. Then you're barren. You're barren. You didn't bear anything. Isn't that something? So, this is the secret. Now, listen carefully to this secret. It's great. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. So that's the, yee-haw! You know, you're just really excited because I didn't bear anything. I told everybody I was a Christian, and they looked at me and said, sure. Yeah. How's that working? You know, that's cool. I mean, you're just a loser. Just admit it. You're a loser. You got this silly thing about God coming through and all that stuff. And how's he done? And the world is just looking at you, and you are ashamed. And the world is disgusted with you. You know, it's like, well, glad I'm a Christian. No, the world is not glad you're a Christian. They're not impressed at all. And especially since becoming a Christian has a nice impact on this world, supposedly. That didst not travail, suffer with child. You see, if you have not brought forth a child, if you have not produced any fruit, if your ministry has gone nowhere, rejoice. Sing. Cry aloud. Isn't that exciting? Do y'all see that? Now, and the thing that makes it even better is other people who aren't even as convicted and as sincere as you are flourishing. That's another thing. Here's a church and the guy's having an affair and so on and so forth, and his parking lot's loaded. You don't see the hymn. And it just ticks you off. He's gone. How can you bless that person right there? Look at that person. They're solely in the flesh. I mean, I read my Bible. I prayed. I fasted. I believed. I taught. I shared. Look at that guy. Parking lot's full. He's a drunk. You know, he's egocentric. His picture's on the billboard. You know, the whole thing. I mean, it's just... And look at him. He's doing great. You ever notice that? Does anybody ever notice that? I don't know. I pay attention to that kind of stuff. Drive by and think... How spiritually pure am I with 14 members? And look at this guy, how polluted he is. He has 7,000 members. He's polluted to the gills. Well, you could get mad. Sing, O barren. Don't look at that. Look at the Lord. Behold his face. Just get closer to Jesus. Well, when am I going to sow and get some fruit, some food, and some stuff, and some of the church members, you know, witnessing to people, and you know, coming on time, and you know, whatever. That's an irker with me. And you know, I tell you what, I come late just deliberately to punish y'all for coming late on me. No, really, it's hard. Do y'all have flesh like I do? There's something in the morning that when you get ready and go to church, you're first excited, and then at a certain point. You're just not. It's like, if I weren't the pastor, I wouldn't be here. But, you know, as Peggy reminds me, you get up and go. For more, and this is the promise. This is why you sing. For more are the children of the desolate. You're going to have more children than those that are married and that, you know, are the wife and, you know, have lots of kids. More children. We'll have more children. More fruit. Isn't that amazing? And there's no evidence of that at all. There's no evidence that we're having a huge impact on Dallas or Fort Worth or Texas or the nation or the world. There's no evidence of that. Well, maybe there's a little bit here and there, but not real. I mean, it's not like you really, it's obvious that our members are more mature and more spiritual and more, you know, godly and so on and so forth. Our members seem to have the same exact sins as the whole world that they're witnessing to. You know, it's like, what do you have to say? You're just as lustful. You're just as angry. You're just as bitter. You're just as greedy. You're just as exactly like us. You're not like God. Not like God. So they're not surprised that there's no fruit. And they're happy, as a matter of fact, because it allows them to keep going. Because you haven't shown up their folly at all. You haven't shown that a Christian is different than anybody else. You're still of this world. You're exactly like this world. And they thank God for that. They're happy because it gives them someone to gripe at and think, well, thank God at least I'm not a Christian hypocrite. And added that to all my other rotten sins. At least I'm not a hypocrite. And so they have a little one up on you. Amen? Because even though you're a Christian and so on, you didn't get anywhere. And they notice that. You're not, you don't even like to be criticized. You defend yourself all the time, just like they do. You want everything to go your way, and when it does, you rejoice, but when it doesn't, you complain, just like we do. So they don't say anything different. Amen? Sing, O barren. Cry aloud. You know, break forth into singing. Just begin to shout, hallelujah. You know, you just get so excited when you're in an elevator with other people. Oh, my God. And the world is just not, they're not excited about your joy because they don't see what you have to be rejoicing over. Look at your son. Look at your daughter. Look at your cousin. Look at your marriage. Look at your business. Look at this. And they want to point out what a hypocrite and a liar you are. How are you blessed? And how have you impacted the world? Where the world is actually going, boy, without you, we would be nowhere. Thank God you're here. How many know that your family isn't saying that? You see? But you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And the world has no light, no salt without you. And yet if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but trodden underfoot of men. And if the light is put under a bushel, what good is it? How can it give light to all that are in the house? So, you are to be the light of the world so that all, instead of judging wicked people, we need to be lightening them by our own life and our words and our deeds and our love and our mercy and our you know, devotion to seeing them set free. I mean, there's nothing as joyful for a pastor. There's nothing as joyful as preaching the truth and then have someone be set free. I'm just telling you, it's the greatest thing ever. Well, no, there's one thing better. The thing that's better is hearing the Lord in the first place. That is even better than if somebody gets a hold of it. I mean, I just leave that part to God. I really don't care if people get a hold of it or not. I'm just so excited. I heard the Lord. Just myself. You all see that? That's the greatest joy. But the Bible says, God promises, that every time the word goes forth, somebody gets blessed. That's what he says. So I don't really have to look at that one. Check it out. Well, I preached today. I don't think anybody liked it. I suppose the fact that they all got up and walked out was probably a sign of that. And so you really can't guarantee anything. You have no guarantees except this. I would rather have the certainty of God's word than I would the security of this world. Now, for this year coming, for this coming year, do not seek for security or worldly comfort or affirmation from the world, but only seek to believe even more dearly than you ever have before that the certainty of God's word brings security inside before outside. But you don't want to hasten on quickly to try to get God and then get favor with man. Hips give you that. Just learn to rejoice no matter what, because God isn't finished yet. This is not this January 2. This is not the end of the year. It's just the beginning. But it's going to be a great year, another great year, as the last one was. That's why I'm reading what he said. I just want to pay attention to what he said here. For the children of the desolate will be more. And that word more is so important to me. Do you realize that Jesus was more than an angel? That Jesus was more than a conqueror? And that you are more? And this word more is very interesting. You're going to have more children, more fruit, more ministry, more seed going forth, producing harvest. More. This is a big word. More. More. In other words, whatever the world has seen, it's seen nothing yet. There's more. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. And now I love this word. Spare not. I love that. It's such an extravagant word. It's why I went to Uganda last year. And there were six of us. Lynn was one of them. Wasn't that great? It was awesome. I'm sorry?
Sabrina's there. Was in Joel's church, you know, 8 hours ago.
Oh, how neat. Yeah, praise God. And I wasn't going to go because it was a bad year and we reduced our, you know, income for, you know, 25% kind of thing. And I just said, God, you know, I just really can't afford it. And I can't take it from the church. They don't have it. We're dead flat broke. You know, I'm not going. I mean, I don't know what you're going to say, but I'm just not going to go. I'll just tell you ahead of time. I'm not going. So I was just about to write to Joel when I started praying, and God said, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch forth the curtains of your habitation, spare not. And that word spare not got to me. It's like, oh, my God, I was going to spare. Definitely going to spare. Stretch out your cords. Lengthen those cords. You know, make them, this the tent now. You see, the tent's this small. And he said, now lengthen it. Go out further. And then strengthen or deepen those stakes. Make it because the wind could get under it and blow the whole tent away. And because you're so insecure in this world, so uncertain about everything. But God said, with his certain word, Jim, don't pay attention to the wind and stuff. Just lengthen those cords, strengthen those stakes, stretch out those curtains, enlarge your tent. You're going to have a lot of children. You're going to have lots of ministry. All of a sudden, you're going to be loaded. And you'll break out on the left hand. You'll break out on the right hand. You're going to break out everywhere. Spiritually, economically, politically, socially. You're going to make such an impact on this world. Really? God, we believe that word, that silly word you've spoke for 30 years. What have we done? What have we accomplished? Well, Chad's here. Well, praise God. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. And Hugo's coming. Well, praise God. Amen. Well, that'd be worth it. Yeah. Okay. Roxy, happier than ever. Amen. Yeah. So okay. So we'll settle for that. But God is saying, no. Though you bore fruit inside, deep, you didn't bear fruit outside, make a big impact on the world. But watch out, because when God is about to bless you, first of all, you have to enlarge the place of your tent before the blessing comes. What if you get the harvest and you have no barn? No, build out your barn, stretch out your curtains, you know, make that tent bigger. You're going to have children all over the place. Really? We've taken nothing. We fished all night and took nothing. I know, just throw your net down and you'll take something. No, Lord, it's noontime. Nobody catches fish in the noontime. You do that all night. We did that, and it didn't work. He said, I know, but just throw your net down. Okay. You know a lot about preaching, but nothing about fishing. But, you know, hey. Okay, yeah, all right. Throw the net down, boom. All of a sudden, it's breaking. There's so many fish in it, you have to call another boat, and even that boat's beginning to sink with all the fish in it. It's amazing how God, at the last minute, can pull something out. Amen? I mean, the TCU yesterday, you know, pulled something out. It was great, you know. It's powerful what God can do at the last minute. I don't normally watch television, but Peggy was yelling and screaming. Jim, get in here! I'm praying. I'm reading the Bible. You know, I'm working. Get in here quick. This is big. Put the Bible down. This is big. He made me watch the whole thing. I was sitting there. Yes, yeah. And I'll have you know, I ordered them. I would tell them what to do before the play. And they did it. Did they not, Peg? I would say, go around the side. So I think I would do it. So I got into that game. I was into that game. Because I'm never right about anything. But there you had it. Even though you've taken nothing for years, even though you've sown and even though you've had no kids, and even though the ministry hasn't worked, even though the people don't come on time, even though this and that, forget all that. Forget all that. Because God said, I will. That's God. That's not me. That's God. And I said, well, I trusted you before, and what happened? Nothing. He said, no. Jim, don't say nothing. Everything happened. Really? I don't think so. I think I flopped. I think I failed. I'm shamed. I don't look good. No. Didn't worry about that. That's good to have no reputation. That's good. Yeah, okay. Praise the Lord. It's good to be hated and despised and misunderstood and bear no fruit. That's good. Apparently, the guys with the big churches, that's not good. This is good. just nothing. I tell you, with God, if you just have a stick in your hand, that's enough. That's enough to set the people free. That was enough to bring liberty to the whole world. Just one stick. Moses said, well, I don't have anything. He said, well, what you got in your hand? Stick. Well, throw it down. Give it to me. Let me have it. Okay, now pick it up. First give it to me, and then I'll tell you what end of the stick to pick up. So it turned into a snake, and the guy didn't know. Should I grab the tail, or should I grab the head? You know, either way, it's not a good idea unless you know how to handle snakes. And so God is the only one that knows how to handle your life. Otherwise, you might get bit. Either way you go. If you win, you might lose. If you lose, you might lose. I mean, you could lose either way. But with God, He'll tell you. So you just have to waste the time. You have to waste time. God, I hate to waste time, but I need to talk to you. He loves that. Is it that bad? Yeah. I got no hope right now. If you don't come through, I'm finished. Really? That's sad. You're seeking me first or last? Well, I tried pills and stuff. I called Pastor Jim. He didn't know anything. But I did everything I could. Now, yeah, last. I sought you last. How many know? Seek ye last the kingdom of God. That's the way. I'll tell you what, even if you believe in seek ye first as a word, it doesn't work out that way. You'll try everything else but God. Amen? You'll try God last. And He knows it. Oh, here you are, seeking first me. But it's last that He knows it. Try anything else. And He wants you to do that. He actually told you to seek Him first because He knew you wouldn't. Then when you finally are desperate and you go, Jesus, I've screwed up everything. I've tried everything. I am on my last. I mean, I'm over. I mean, it's not looking good. He said, well, if you come to me now, yeah, seeking you last. But got anything good? Got anything for me? I think I've screwed it up. No. It's just, you finally got to me. Praise God. Want to spend a little time? Nah, just kind of give me the answer. Let me go on with my life. If you could just fix it up a little bit, I'll be gone. How many know that we want to use God, rape God, employ God, just to get our own kingdom built up again? Amen. And He just isn't into that. Well, God, if you don't act now, nothing's going to happen. So get going. Hate to say it like that, but ticked off. And you know, God is just smiling. He big smile. Because He doesn't really care that you're in deep trouble. Because He doesn't think you are. He actually thinks everything's going your way. He actually thinks, because you believed in His promise, that even though you haven't seen anything, that you have faith that He can't let you down. Could you lose? Can you lose when you've already won? How can you lose when you've already won? How can you lose when you are? Don't you have the certainty that this Bible says, His thoughts toward you are always thoughts of peace, I'll never leave you or forsake you, on and on and on. All those things, He always leads me in triumph. you know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, the scriptures are abundant. Never be discouraged. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. The King of Glory is about to come in. So, all this stuff, and then he says, for you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left, and your seed, your ministry, the people in your church, they shall inherit or possess the nations, the Gentiles, the peoples. You know what? We're going to make a huge impact. Isn't that amazing? And that'll be through you, Margaret. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that brought a smile to your face. Because you think of yourself, yeah, probably not me. I think I'll take a modest position. No, you don't have a modest position. Actually, the Lord's going to do great things through you, Linda. But you smiled also. Amazing. Amazing the faith we have. Like, pick somebody else. Pastor Jim, do it yourself. What do we pay you for? Do it. Be a good Christian. Oh, it's great. Now, isn't that amazing that God would use you?
It's powerful.
But he will. He will not do it on his own. He will not. He's chosen you, and he won't unchosen you. He's chosen you, and that's it. Now, he's going to get glory with you, which will really beat Allah. If he could work with you, you see, Allah has to have faithful followers that submit to him. Whereas God can take people that say they submit and don't. And then get it done. And you're trying to drag God down and he still does it. Thanks for your help, Jim. He still gets it done. And here he's dragging these football players behind him.
I love that.
Isn't that amazing? Now, apart from him you can do nothing, but through him you can do all things. So let's say it. I can do all things.
I can do all things.
In fact, I'm going to do all things. Because God is with me.
God is for me.
God is in me.
And
God is working through me to bless this world. That's powerful. That's powerful. That's a new year. Then he said, don't be afraid. Oh, I didn't read this part. And make desolate cities to be inhabited. What he's saying there is, you're going to inherit, your seed's going to inherit, your fruit, your ministry, and so on. You're going to inherit the world. But not just that. These cities once were habited, and now they've been uninhabited. They've been desolated. You will build up again the waste places, the desolations, in your own marriage, in your own life, in your own family, in your own church, in your own world. You will now see the victory that you thought in the beginning when God said, I give you all this, that you would see it. But first he had to take you to the bottom so you would not steal some of the glory. You had to come to the end of yourself first before he could build you up. He had to demolish your present home so he could give you a new one. He had to cut off all of your past so he could give you a new future. Did y'all see that? In other words, he had to tear down your old past to give you a better past, which is Christ. You see, Christ has covered all your guilt. So now you have no guilt over the past. How many have lived the perfect life up until now? None. Okay, so don't worry about your past. The fact that you messed up, screwed up, forget that. Laugh at that. Just go, yeah, there's mine. There's my work right there. I did that. I messed that one up right there. And that's great. Just laugh at that. Why? Because God said, I'll give you another one. I'll give you Jesus. You have Jesus' past, so you have his present, so you have his future, so you have everything. Now, that's nice for heaven someday, but heaven starts today. Heaven starts today. So he doesn't want you to experience heaven in heaven. He wants you to experience heaven on earth. That was the whole reason he came down. It was not just to forgive you so you keep sinning, but to actually cause you to walk in holiness, in purity, in maturity, in strength, in glory, so that when you leave here, you'll never be unhappy again. You'll never be sad again. You'll never be hurt again. You'll never be confused again. You'll never be ashamed again. You'll never be confounded again. You'll always be, wherever you go, bringing peace and blessing and joy and goodness. wherever you go. Amen? All right, let's have somebody testify to that. Pastor, that's going to be me. What you just said, that's going to be me. All right, who would like to say that? Okay,
yes,
well, let's go
mean.
On to the next point. Okay, there you go.
For 31 years, I worked as an interior designer. And this past spring, in fact, throughout last winter, you know, there was less and less in the economy and this and that, and there was less and less. So I was hitting the panic button emotionally and going before the Lord, you know, what is this? Someone called me, I'd met, given her my business card. She was in a panic about something. I started to help her. I told you about an idea I had. You introduced me to Judy. And now, it might be bigger than Judy and Robin. I mean, it has just expanded and exploded in such a way, neither one of us have ever done this before.
Mm.
And yet God, we just watch him, you know, go before us, set it up, introduce us, prepare our way. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Amazing. Amazing grace. Amen. It's good. But, you know, you will never... You'll never appreciate $1 billion until you're broke. Until you've made $1 million and lost it, then you appreciate that God caused you to lose that to test you so that you'd be empty, look to him, and give him thanks that when he gave you the billion, you wouldn't waste it like you did the million. See, he blessed you before, but you screwed it up because you thought it was partly you, a little bit you. At least, thank God, I saw the opportunity. You know, yeah. But you know what? With all your talent, with all your smarts, with all your goodness, with all your greatness, with all your glory, it's zero. And all he wants to do, and the reason that he treated you poorly and shabbily, was because he did that. Satan didn't do that. Satan did not do that. God did that. That is, God allowed it. He didn't did it. But he allowed that to what? To test you, to say to Satan, huh, did you see my servant Job? Well, yeah, because you always bless him. So on. Just let me at him. Let me touch his body. Let me touch his health. Let me touch his wealth. Let me touch his family relationships. He'll curse you to your face. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. You don't know the products we produce around here. No, go ahead. You'll see. Job will come forth shining like gold purified 7 times. Oh, that's so Job was, thanks for putting me forth like that, little deal you have there with Satan. You know, appreciate that. He said, yeah, do anything you want with him. Just don't take his life. Mangle him, you know, take away his health and his wealth and relationships and so on. Just leave him alive, though. So Job is beaten to a pulp. He's just got nothing but boils all over his body and his wife's nagging at him all the time. And you know, just a hell of a life. Lost all his kids, lost his, you know, well, he's lost everything. And then you know what he says? Because you remember this. He said, what did he say? Do you remember, Tom?
I'm here. Tell me.
Yea, though thou slay me, yet will I praise God. In the land of the living, I'm going to stand up and praise God. So I don't care. I don't give you take away everything. And more so, I'm still going to trust in God. I've put all my hope in the Lord. And I'm not turning. So he passed the test. The test was not that God could bless him. The test was that God didn't need to bless him for the guy to have the certainty of the word without the security of the world. That's what you want. Oh, that one would get a hold of that today. I don't want the certainty of this world, the security of this world. I want the certainty of his word that God cannot lie. And that what he said toward me, that what he promised that he'd do for me, in me, through me, let that happen. And that is your security. That's your rock. That's all you need. So he said, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Wow. You know what being ashamed means? It means you say something's going to happen and it doesn't. And then everybody says, well, see? Big talk. Big, you know, blah, blah. And then they just laugh at you. And you feel ashamed. It's like, what do I have to say? I really don't need to talk. I think I'll run away. I think I'll kill myself. I think I'll hide. I think I'll go to a new location. Start again. Has that ever occurred to you? Run. Go. Why stay here and be a loser? Everybody knows you here. Try a new environment. Or just dope yourself up. Or, you know, whatever. and you come up with some reason not to love the reality that you're in. To believe that God will somehow abandon you when he said he wouldn't. To believe that somehow you'll get second rather than first. To believe that somehow it won't be the best of the best of the best. That you cannot ever be sad in this world. If God told the truth, then you have heaven on earth. Peace on earth. Shalom on earth. Not in heaven. There's a shalom on earth. The best here. Now, if you're not experiencing that, you missed it. And that's all right, because he knows you're going to start out as a child, and then you're going to become a young man, and then you'll finally become mature. But still, he wants you to have it now, to be happy now. We're not producing those kind of people. I don't know where they come from, but we're not producing those that are excited no matter what, that nothing can go wrong, that I can always give a good report, that I have something to say positive, to bless and benefit people that despise me, hate me, misuse me, and so on. I don't care. I'm not afraid. Fear not. Why? It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not. Don't be afraid. And don't worry about being shamed. Shame is good. That is just shame of your flesh. That's all. That just can kill your flesh. I tell you, when you're ashamed, that just kills your flesh. Why? Well, I was such a braggadocious person. I shouldn't have said anything. I wish now I'd been humbler. I wish they hadn't been so bold. And God goes, what are you doing? Apologizing. I'm trying to recover from my foolishness. You think you could do that? Well, I'm trying. You see, you can't. There's nothing you can do. Because you know what? God's already done everything. He's already done everything, and you win. He just wants to give you another present. You know, just like little kids, they open a present and they step on that and get to the next one. He's got more presents for you. And thank God they're incorruptible and undefiled. You can't corrupt them. You can't. Yeah, it isn't like, where's the battery for this thing? It's made out of plastic and I broke it. No. These gifts are indestructible. No weapon. This is how this chapter ends. No weapon. No instrument. No tool. And it's usually talking about a utensil that a soldier has, like a sword or a spear. No weapon fashioned against you, formed against you, that's designed by men to hurt you or get you, or by Satan or whoever, shall prosper. It'll never actually kill you off. The only way you could die is if God lets you. You can't die if the devil wants you to die. He's not been able to kill me for 70-some years. And now my CPA tells me at 70 and a half, I have to start taking, you know, certain things and paying taxes on them and so on, because I'm 70 and a half. And that's Peggy and I, so we have to, and Peggy's older, so she's the first one. And so, you know, I'm just following my elders. And I'm watching Peg, see what she's going to do, because now we suddenly don't have any, you know, any protection now. That you're this old, you have to start taking. You can't keep investing. You have to start, you know, going downhill. Well, praise God. Jesus said he'd take care of me. Not only will I not lose, I'm going to win big time. Why? Because physical, emotional, spiritual, I don't care what kind of way. I'm just going to be blessed. I'm not going to limit spiritual things to spiritual looking, because spiritual also includes practical. Why can't God give me the best wife, the best family, the best church, the best everything? Why not? I believe he can. And not only that, I believe he already has. Not only that, I believe it's even going to get better. Not only that, I don't even want to count it. I don't even want to count it because I don't really need to count it. I mean, it's amazing to me how you can be a loser and totally win. Like the TCU thing. That was great because they were fighting for all the little people. You know, a little bitty school can take a big school. I think they have 7,000 people or something at their school. And they can take a big major school with big guys. That was great. You know, they just could mow them down. It was amazing. Every time they ran, it just went right through them. How can these guys win? Because I said they were reading them. They were reading them. They were noticing where their Achilles heel was. where their strength was, but also where their weaknesses were. Then they began to whittle them down. It's amazing. Isn't that amazing? And I like what the quarterback said. He said, what did he say, 2 Peter 5 or something, whatever it was. He gave glory to Jesus. He didn't have to throw that in. I think he was a secret Christian sneaking that out. Right there, all over the place. He gave God the glory. That's amazing. I mean, he didn't just say, like a lot of them just say, thank God or something like that. He said, 2 Peter, put it right on there. They just asked him, and he was grinning from ear to ear, and they just left it on. Well, thank you very much. Just left it on to embarrass the whole world. And it's like, you thought Texas was, a weird place. Look at this. They all quote scriptures. They all love each other. So it's great. I love it. I laughed out loud when I heard that. Thank you, Jesus. That is such an embarrassment for Satan. You know, he's like, man, I almost squashed them all. And there's some yokels down in Texas still yahooing as though that mattered. As though giving thanks to God made a difference. I tell you, God has saved the best to the last. Every nation is going to know that we are here. This state, this city, they're going to know we are here because we are here to bless and to be a blessing. That's powerful. So, don't be afraid. You'll never be put to shame. Don't be confounded. Confounded means to have two things going. One, I'm a Christian. Two, why does it look the way it does? Don't be confounded. Well, why am I desolate? Why don't I have children? Why aren't we blessing? Why aren't we being a blessing? What? Don't be confounded. Don't ever be confused. You have the certainty of the word. You don't need the security of this world. Don't go by what you see. Go by what he says. It's not he who sees, but he who believes. So, do you believe? That's all. Don't make yourself believe. Just do you believe? Do you believe God can't lie? Because if you believe that, blessed are you. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. That's it. Put all your trust in him. Now, you're not just trusting him in general. You're trusting the exact scriptures that he gave you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I will make sure that you walk. Your steps will be ordered of me. And everything's going to go your way. No. Everything is going your way already. Huh? Yeah. It's going your way right now. Oh, I love that. I love that. I mean, you mean I'm winning? Yeah. Well, I'll see it. Look at the scoreboard. Well, no, don't look at the scoreboard. You're winning. You're a winner. Wow. That's pretty exciting. How many know you have the best marriage? You have the best family. You have the best pastor. I just threw that in. You have everything going your way. In other words, you don't need anything to look different than it does. You just need to look at the word, which doesn't change. Don't look at the things that change. Look at the things that don't change. And that which doesn't change is so secure, so solid. Now, why do these weapons that people fashion against us, why do they never prosper against us? Because of the certainty of the word. Because of God's inability to be able to lie. Because God has made a promise. Do I have to go pay?
Yes.
I'll see you. God is good. Amen. The best is yet to come.
Amen.
It's dessert time. And when God does, do not smile. When he does, don't smile. Because then people will think you're smiling because you were blessed. When it happens, just go, of course. Of course. Because God is good. And with a very sober face, you just go, everything does go our way. The best is yet to come. But that's only because it's already perfect and it's just going to get more and more and more. We're more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Through Christ who loves us. And so that's why God has saved the best till last. I tell you, we are the last. You need to understand that. I'm not just saying this. You're at the end of the end of the end. And therefore, we aren't going out with a whimper. Like, oh, I thought that last group would be better than the first group. No. You are chosen just because you know you can't do it. The reason that God chose you is because you're so well aware of how pitiful you would be on your own. But how awesome you are with one, with just God. As God is the only one in your life that matters. And he will cause you to get victory everywhere you turn. Everywhere you turn, it's gonna come your way. You say, well, Pastor, that's cute, but does it really work like that? No, it is working like that. I'm sure we could have half of the church right now stand up and say, I've already experienced the goodness of God, and I know that God is going to keep his word. Not about us being going to heaven, but about us bringing heaven to earth so that the world may see and know and understand that God, the Almighty, is the God of this world.
Amen.
And that he holds all things in his hand. He has a right, nobody can give him this right, to redeem anything in his left hand that he wants to. And if he wants to redeem some to send us back in to die and suffer and be ashamed so that then he can win them and bring more, that's up to him. He can show his mercy anytime he wants to and not put sinners under the law. Anytime he wants to. He can take you. If you're a harlot, he can turn you into a virgin. He has the right to do it. If you're dead, he can make you alive. If you're poor, he can make you rich. If you're weak, he can make you strong. He can do it if he wants to. Yes, it breaks his law, but he says it doesn't break the law. It fulfills it. The purpose of the law was to expose you so that I could give you everything, not to expose you so I could punish you. The reason I showed you your sin was not so you'd be depressed. It's not that you would work harder. The reason I showed you your sin is that you would just rejoice. The reason I showed you your sin, that's the best thing I could do for you, is show you your sin, your helplessness, your weakness, your ignorance, your poverty. I wanted to show you that so that when I blessed you, you could give praise. That's all. When I blessed you, you would know, I didn't do that. Because the worst thing is that when you get blessed, you can stand up and say, well, you know, the Lord and I, we worked that out. No, it wasn't the Lord and you. It was the Lord.
Amen.
He just did that, you know, for you because he likes to. He just wanted to. That's his right hand. With his right hand, he doeth valiantly. So, no weapon fashioned against you, formed against you, shall prosper. And the judgment with which the world is judging you, looking down on you, despising you, wondering what good you are, that judgment you will condemn with your own mouth and say it's not true. And this is the heritage of the saints. This is the inheritance. He is giving you the Gentiles. He is giving you this world. Evangelism is going to be powerful. We won't even be able to be contained in this building. It's too much. We can have the whole ballroom. It's not enough. What God is saying is, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your habitation. Spare not. Lengthen those cords. Strengthen those stakes. Because you're about to break out. Right hand and left hand. And the Lord is returning for a people that know their